following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
And good morning, everyone. Happy Friday. The first Friday of August, which means we are exactly 3 weeks away from the opening Friday night of the high school football season, and it's a lot of football to talk. Doug Duda and Monty Kratzenstein, the former Husker, with you here on the Doug and Daddy Show, and we're glad to have you along with us for the next hour. We're going to talk a lot of football. We'll catch up with Brian Christofferson of the Lincoln Journal-Star to recap the first day of practice. Monty, usually that first day, you're going to see something you haven't seen or maybe the media guys didn't know about in this day and age. You usually find something out, okay, who was on the 105, who wasn't, who's hurt, who's not, who's back, who's not, those types of things. And then you'll start after a week, once the helmets and the shoulder pads and all the pads come on, you'll start to see a little contact out there, and you get your first look at a couple of the new guys as well.
No, you're right on. I think the biggest thing with the first day is always that 105 deal, you know, who's 105 and who's 106, 7, and that. Now, does it really matter, you know, from a wins and losses standpoint? No, but it's a great interest, because if you aren't on the 105, you know, you've got a hill to climb as far as playing time. That isn't necessarily mean that it's not going to happen, but that's a big deal. The other thing is just what you said, what kind of nagging injuries or what type of injuries are keeping guys from being out there, you know, day one. I think Vincent Valentine was really one of the only ones that really missed. That's a knee bruise, and that's not a big deal. So that's one thing. And then the other thing is certainly the new guys. Everybody loves new guys. Everybody.
Jordan Stevenson, yo!
You know, and if he wasn't there, there's a running back by the name of Divine that passes the eye test, too, that is just spectacular to look at. But, you know, and again, don't make a big deal out of it, because it doesn't mean a whole lot now. But I really love the I love this time of year, because everyone's optimistic. Everybody's undefeated. Everything's great. I'm always interested in the way the players look, because you're coming off a new strength and conditioning program, a new guy. And of course, that's the other thing too. Has anyone ever said, "Hey, we got a new strength conditioning guy"? Yeah, he's not very good, and we don't have a lot of new stuff. It's always, yeah, we're doing new things, and I get that. But I'm always interested to look at the players, see who's kind of transformed their bodies a little bit, who looks a little bit different, because that does make a difference. If you talk to Division I coaches all over, they say their most important assistant is their strength and conditioning guy.
We've got some specialty players, kickers that, you know, are on the 105, not on the 105. Sam Foltz had a good day yesterday. He's been to a kicking camp. He really kind of beat out about 120 other guys in a competition at a camp here recently. If you've been paying attention, you may have come across that. And usually you don't carry a lot of kickers on the 105, because they can go do what they need to do without being around the rest of the team. So all that. And Kevin Williams is not a backup, in case you didn't know that. Also, our Big Ten chat continues with Dan Vitale, no relation to Dick, of Northwestern, listed as a super back, not a slot back, not an H back. He is a super back, and that's how he's listed. And we'll find out what that is and how much fun Northwestern players have so close to Chicago. We'll talk with Dan Vitale about that. Fanatics Friday trivia. I think we got a fun one today, so get ready for that. And that's all coming up on today's Doug and Daddy Show. We'll talk on the GPAC a little bit. Nebraska also picks up an oral commit, but it's 2.5 years away from the signing day for 2018. I mean, I think you've got a kid in Beatrice's Cameron Juergens that wants to be a Husker. I think he's one of the little guys, and he's just going to be a sophomore. We talked about it at the Friday Night Lights camp in the beginning of June, and he really showed really well for even against some of the seniors to be. So he's going to go in, and they even have rankings for the class of 2018. He's 47th right now for the class of 2018, but a lot will happen. He's got 3 years of high school football left to play.
Have you seen the kid in person? I think maybe you saw him playing basketball. You know, he was such a good basketball player for Beatrice. I've seen him on the basketball court more than I've seen him on the football field. The kid's a real deal. I mean, he is, and he's not one of those kids that you look at and he's just, yeah, he's a man child, but he isn't fully developed yet. He's still pretty lean and he's got that big frame. And there's no doubt in my mind that he is a top prospect, but then I go back and say he's only a sophomore, as Keith Jackson would say. So, yeah, there's a lot of time. It's great. It's great that he wants to be a Husker. It's great that he's in. I will remind you that, was it 2 years ago, our first commit was a kid by the name of Bubak from Lincoln area, and he switched it. A lot of things can change. So it's great that we got him as a commit. It's great that he wants to be a Husker. A lot of work yet to do, but he's a stud. The kid is a good-looking kid.
Also, BYU, the first opponent, we told you this right at the end of the show yesterday, is that their leading rusher, Jamal Williams, has withdrawn from school. And Coach Bronco Mendenhall says it's for personal reasons, but he believes and plans on Williams being back with the team next season. Good luck with that. Williams ran for 2,600-plus yards and 23 touchdowns in 3 seasons. He also had 487 yards in receptions. He missed the final 5 games of last season because of injury, but by far the most experienced and productive back that was coming back right now. Algernon Brown would be the most experienced guy. He had 324 yards rushing last season. So mop up duty. BYU will be down a major cog when they come to Lincoln.
Yeah.
Let alone what they're going to do with any suspensions from the bowl fight.
Yeah, that'll be an interesting. We'll talk about that as that first game gets closer. But they have 10 players, and they have yet to say which 10 players are going to be suspended for that first game. Is that accurate?
I don't think it's going to be, from what I understood, and again, someone can correct me if I'm wrong here, they're going to suspend, I think you're right, on the 10 players, but they're not just going to say all the first game, which is smart. You know what? And if anybody gives him grief about it, he's the coach. He can do what he wants. He's getting paid that kind of money to take care of his team, and he doesn't want to hose the other 100 or 80 kids on the team by wrecking the season right off the bat. Take a few here, take a few there. I'm guessing there might be a couple of them that are suspended for a couple of games.
Sure.
For BYU.
If you see that tape of that, I would assume that's probably true. But for us, I say Nebraska, it doesn't matter. You don't change your preparation.
No.
People like to talk about it. It's the same. I'll tell you what you do want to talk about when you talk about BYU is the health of that quarterback, because he's good. He got hurt last year. Is he going to be back 100%? Because when he's 100%, he's a handful. And so that is important as far as the preparation that those defensive coaches have for BYU. And they won't know. You probably won't know until the first series or two exactly where he stands. But that'll be fun to talk about, too, as we get closer.
So we will get into that as well. And we ask you now on our Midtown Mart cooler question, Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. Are you more confident about Nebraska in the BYU game after the withdrawal of running back Jamal Williams? Yes or no? So are you more confident that Nebraska is going to win that game? I'll say yes. I'll say a little bit. You're taking away a key cog. I mean, you can talk about every position out there, but there are two or three, and running back is one of them. You're losing a very experienced, I'm not going to say he was Amir Abdullah, but take Amir Abdullah out of the first game last year. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter who it is. It's just a little bit bigger stage here. Yeah, and I think I haven't even looked. Caleb will pull up the point spread. I don't know if it changed at all.
That will be interesting to see, because I kind of agree with you. Is that fair if I can kind of agree with you sometimes? It doesn't make me feel any better. It's a factor. BYU is known for not necessarily their depth. They're known for their players, and they've got some good ones, but their depth is a factor. And so I think it helps help me feel a little bit more confident, maybe.
888, oh, by the way, our Midtown Mark cooler question yesterday, will Ray Rice be on an NFL roster before week one? I said yes. Our listeners disagree heartily. 82% say no. 18% say yes. Ray Rice will be on an NFL roster before week one.
Say yes. Yeah, I'll say yes.
I think so, too. Somebody's going to get, even if they don't, even if everybody's saying, okay, we're good the way we are, somebody gets tweaked and they bring in Ray Rice. We'll see. And it would be better to do it earlier than right before camp. I mean, get all the hubbub out of the way with bringing him on and actually get a chance to see what he's got.
Mm-hmm.
You can vote on our Midtown Mark Cooler question anytime at ESPNSuperstation.com. So a quick start there on the Huskers. We've got a lot coming up later on in the program with Brian Christofferson of the Lincoln Journal-Star. Dan Vitale, the Superback of Northwestern, is coming up. Plus, Fanatics Friday Fantastic Trivia. Going to have a little fun with that. So keep your ears open and your mind rolling around here. You don't even have to be that smart. You just this is more of a kind of a pop culture question today.
You don't even have to be that smart.
Well, I'm just saying, this
I'm in. Count me in.
Did you find anything?
No, I didn't.
Caleb, what am I going to do with you?
Why'd you just throw him under the bus right from the very beginning? What'd Caleb
do?
He's been on 100% for like all summer long. So
your standards are pretty high.
I'm going to check that point spread while we're gone here. We'll take a break, be back with more, and talk a little bit about the GPAC Media Days, a little baseball as well after this.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
Cornhusker Honda presents a reality check. You don't have to shop all over to find your new Honda. Just head to Cornhusker Honda in Grand Island. You'll find great savings right now at America's most reliable cars and trucks. Plus, financing as low as 0.9% for up to 60 months with your good credit. That's savings for the long haul. The reality is the right choice is right here. Cornhusker Honda, just off North Highway 281 in Grand Island.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Farming is your livelihood, and we understand that. After all, the companies of Farm Bureau Financial Services were originally founded to serve the unique insurance and financial services needs of farmers. Contact Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney and learn how they make it simple to help you select the coverage that's right for you today and provide options for the future of your growing operation. Call Rich Peters or Matt Myers in Kearney today. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
We'll stay with some sunshine across the area as we head through the day today with a high temperature of around 90. Winds will also turn to the south about 5 to 15. Then we'll see developing showers and storms tonight with a low near 67. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 79.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So seductive. I take you to the candy shop.
Doug and Daddy Show, Doug Gutimani Kraftenstein in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Midway Chevrolet, Buick, GMC Cadillac, Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. The Chevy Summer Bonus Tag Event is going on. Find your tag and choose your deal. Get 0% APR starting next week and an additional $1,000 purchase cash or an additional $500 lease bonus cash on select vehicles. So if you're a Chevy guy or gal, get ready next week through the end of the month. The Chevy Summer Bonus Tag Event gets going. Stop by your Midway Chevrolet dealership, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney, or go online to thinkmidway.com for more details. Well, Mason Brodeen, a former Loper, has found himself a home. He has signed on for now. He has signed on with the New England Patriots. Brodeen, of course, has been a part of a variety of spots. He originally signed with Oakland as a free agent out of UNK, was released at the end of training camp, and had been a part of the Rams for the last couple of seasons. He went to training camp with St. Louis last season, but suffered that injury that took him out of the year and was on injured reserve the whole season. But Mason Brodeen now will try and be a part of a very fine football team with the New England Patriots. So we'll see how that plays out.
Good for him. Good for him.
Got Brodeen there, and you got Cole Manhart with the Saints trying to make the roster. We'll see what happens.
There's a big difference. There's a small difference between making a roster and not making a roster from a personnel standpoint. There's a huge difference between actually making it. You talk about even making that practice team and getting your foot in the door and being around it. That's a big deal. It's kind of like the minor leagues and the major leagues. There's just a little bit of difference, some of those guys. But when you make it, you're at the show.
And the Nebraska line is up to about 5.5 now. When it came out the day of, it went from 6.5 down to 3.5 in Vegas, and now it's back up to 5.5 for that opening game. So it moved a touch after the announcement yesterday, but it's also didn't move the full 2 points. After all that money went on BYU the day that it opened, a little bit more now coming back on Big Red. So there you go. 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. Let's take care of GPAC Media Days. GPAC Media Days, Hastings College, was picked to finish fourth by the media and fifth by the coaching staff yesterday.
Does that sound about right?
When we had Mike Will on yesterday, I think third would have been high and sixth would have been way too low.
Sure.
So I suppose that's about right, 4 or 5. Morningside keeps winning it, so they're number one, unanimous, both coaches and media, then Northwestern, and then Doan, followed by Dakota Wesleyan, Hastings, and then in the coaches' poll, Concordia, Nebraska Wesleyan, Midland, Briarcliff, and Dort. You look at the unanimous number one, you don't want to be unanimous 10th. Everybody voted Dort last.
Yeah, when you look at that conference and that schedule, usually if you're in kind of the middle of the pack, that 4, 5, 6 area, what that tells you is you're going to have a lot of close games. And so there's comes down to one or two plays, a special teams play, a turnover here and there. And I'm sure as the season goes on and we talk to their coaching staff, that's the kind of things they're emphasizing because they know they're going to have a few tight ones.
Also, the NFL Hall of Fame induction ceremonies are this weekend. Will Shields, Mick Tinglehoff, 2 of the 8 going in, and 2 of the 6 players that will be going in, 2 are executives. Of course, Will played for Kansas City, and Mick, who we had on a couple, 3, 4 years ago, is going in. The Veterans Committee elected him. We've known that since January that he was going in. Mick is suffering whichever medical term you want to use, and since there's nothing official out there, I don't want to get into it too much, but you've probably noticed that he's not doing a lot of interviews. Mm-hmm. Word is that he may not even give his speech tomorrow night, that Fran Tarkington will do more than introduce him. He will give a speech. He's short-term memory and some of the things like that. Again, age, taking some shots in the head. We know about that. He's in on the concussion lawsuit, yeah, which got going here. But Mick, an outstanding gentleman. Even when he came back for the honoring last month in Lexington, he did not speak publicly to those that were there. Family members did that. But from what we're told, sometimes, Mick's right there and you're talking to him and it's all kinds of good things. And But we talked to him about 4 years ago on the Doug and Daddy show when his name kept coming up and he kept falling short. And it was cool to hear from him a little bit.
Mick's a local and now a national legend. I mean, that guy played offensive line when offensive line was a little bit different. There weren't the multi-million-dollar contracts. There was and that guy, it's a cliche, that guy was a lunch pail guy that did his job, did it with class, handled himself very well. He has a lot of friends still in this area, which tells you a lot about someone, especially someone that's had a lot of success. Just a total class guy. It's sad to see that sort of thing, but there's a lot of former players that are like that, and that's too bad. But every honor he gets, he certainly deserves. I'm also interested, you know, Will Shields, the first Hall of Famer that I actually played with. I was a senior. He was a freshman. He did not redshirt. He didn't play that year. And, you know, and he's such an interesting character, too, from the standpoint of this term is thrown around too much, but he is such a classy guy, has always been such a classy guy, quiet, confident, yet so humble. And when he was a freshman and we were seniors and he was kind of working his way up there, he never, ever... You know, those were the days where you didn't talk about true freshmen playing.
Oh, no.
Especially in the offensive line. And he was one of those guys that you would watch him do his work, and you would watch him on a play, and he would just do something really, really special. I mean, he would get from point A to point B so quick as a freshman. And he had a different body type, too. You know, he wasn't one of those guys that was just huge and massive with the long arms. He was a true pulling guard when he was at Nebraska. Class guy, went to Kansas City, and I'm always partial to those guys that go and play at one place for such a long time, and he's just synonymous with the Kansas City deal, and he's a class guy. He is a great guy. So two wonderful inductees from that have Nebraska connections there.
Mick Tinglehoff is the description of old school, and he will say that himself. He didn't, in a couple of the interviews, and just as this has all been going on and reading some of the recent interviews and some of the older things, and he described himself as ornery. Not mean, but ornery. Mm-hmm. Ornery, depends where you grew up. But he described himself as ornery, and he played through everything. He had injuries that would keep guys out for a month in this day and age. He was not drafted. They had 14 teams in 20 rounds, and he was not drafted. Right. One of the stories they came across was they kind of knew that Mick Tinglehoff, he sent, let me see if I can come across it here. There was a story there where they sent Van Brocklin, the assistant coach, out and said they'd give him a $500 bonus. $9,000 was his contract, and Van Brocklin pocketed the $500. And when he was going through the first week of camp or something, the coach, which was pre-Bud Grant, yelled at him and said, "I gave you $500 to look like," and he's going, "What are you talking about?"
And Brocklin couldn't be good. He had his hands in his pockets walking away because he didn't want to be questioned.
Eventually, he got the money. Eventually, he got the money. But played in 240 consecutive games. Stepped right in as a rookie on the offensive line, mostly as center. All-pro five times in 64 to 69. Just missed the once. Only Brett Favre and Jim Marshall have started more consecutive games in NFL history than Mick Tinglehoff.
And from a local standpoint, that Lexington team that he played on in high school is widely considered one of the best high school, certainly in Class B, but certainly one of the best high school teams of all time, with another very legendary NFL guy, another Monty. Much better, but Monty Kiffin and Mick Tinglehoff, every time I go to Lexington High School, I go through their lobby area, I look at that picture, and I look at those guys, because there's some guys, you know, living in Gothenburg that I've known for years, or, you know, put high school with their kids and whatnot, that played on that team. And I always go through and I look at those guys, and they were special. That was a special group of guys, and it's fun to reminisce about that.
Here's what Mick Tinglehoff told us previously on the Doug and Daddy Show about after so many years, always knowing that the vote was coming up.
I wasn't drafted. I had a couple phone calls, and one was from the Vikings, and I talked to them a long time. The other was the St. Louis Cardinals. And the Vikings called and explained that they were a young team and wanted me to try out for center. I agreed to them, and things worked out pretty good for me. I used to get nervous a couple years ago, but then anymore, I don't know. I started more games and most people and made All-Pro and played in the Pro Bowls and all that stuff, but the Hall of Fame is just kind of out of our power, so I just let them do their voting, and that's it.
Mick Tinglehoff, just a couple comments from a previous interview that we had a few years ago with Mick.
And how not to get on a bandwagon, how do you keep a guy like that off? How does a guy like that, And I know why, because there wasn't the notoriety. There, you know, offensive linemen were in the trenches, and there wasn't a lot of that spotlight on them. But my goodness, how do you keep a guy like that that played in so many games at that high level out of the Hall of Fame that long?
75 years old, Mick Tinglehoff, as he goes in, drafted back in 1962. 280 players were drafted. He was not one of them, but spent his entire career there with the Minnesota Vikings. Started 19 playoff games and was their long snapper as well. Sixth player to reach the Hall of Fame from the core of Minnesota's dominant teams that lost those four Super Bowls in the 1970s. 13 representatives for the Vikings now in Canton who spent 3 years with the club or more. Mick Tinglehoff. Let's do a little giveaway right here. Let's make somebody a winner on the Doug and Daddy Show with our Fanatics Friday Fan Trivia.
Everybody's a winner, Doug. Winning this isn't going to make them a winner. There's no losers that listen to us. I heard crickets. Crickets. Give away something, would you?
Yeah, I'm trying to comprehend that. There's only one place you find the bullpen, and that's at Fanatics, their outdoor beer garden, where you can also watch all of your favorite sporting events. It's had a couple of beautiful nights this week. Anytime that you want to be outside, you can do it. Anytime you want to be inside in the air conditioning, they've got their own party room there for special occasions. That's where the old Outlaws hang out and watch all their soccer. But you'll be able to do your college and NFL football watching there as well. If you want to do your fantasy draft, Fanatics would love to host you. And while you're doing that, enjoy your favorite beverages, handcrafted pizza with your choice of toppings, great wings, sandwiches, burgers, and a whole lot more at Fanatics. If you have your restriction, the only restriction we have is one winner per household every 3 months for Fanatics Friday Trivia. One winner per household every 3 months. 888-455-ESPN. 888-455-3776. Let's do it. Should we do them on the air?
Yeah.
Let's do them on the air today. Caleb loves doing that. So give us a call.
He's got his finger on the button.
As I said, it's kind of a pop culture question today. And let's go to the phone lines for Fanatics Trivia. Who are we chatting with?
This is Greg.
Greg?
From Clay Center.
Great to have you on, Clay Center. Let's
thank you very much.
Let's see if you know the answer here. Today, and if you watched or read anything, you may have just fell across it today. I'll let people know that. But today is Lee Corso's 80th birthday. 80th birthday, Lee Corso. Of course, famous for the headgear on College Game Day. What school was the first headgear that he ever wore officially on College Game Day?
Are you serious?
Yeah, it's pretty simple, too. It's pretty simple.
First headgear.
And it was in 1996. I'll throw that out. So it's been a long time. It's been 19 years ago. I'll give you one more clue. They are currently ranked in the top. They're currently ranked in the top. They're currently ranked in the top 20. So it's not some obscure team.
Florida State, his alma mater.
That's an outstanding guess. It's incorrect, but try back, Greg. 888-455-ESPN. 888-455-ESPN. Who are we chatting with?
This is Sean.
Sean, do you know the answer? The first official headgear that Lee Corso wore on College Game Day was for what school?
It was Kirk Herbstreit's alma mater, the Ohio State Buckeyes.
That is exactly right. Ohio State, coincidentally, and maybe ironically, the current number one team in the country and defending national champion, Ohio State. Let's see how much more you know about Corso. Which team has he picked more than any other?
USC.
Correct. Where did he coach college football?
I remember Louisville being one of them, but I'm sure there's more.
He coached one team against Nebraska.
And it was a Big Ten team, wasn't it? Like Indiana?
That's correct. Indiana's. Yeah.
And is it a true story that they scored the first touchdown of the game? He called timeout, had his picture taken with his assistant coach, with the scoreboard in the background, and then proceeded to get beat like 63-7. That's the story. I don't know if it's
blowout.
True. I think I Am Hip was our running back at that time, and I'm not kidding.
It was like 75 or 76.
Or Jarvis Redwine or I Am Hip was our running
back.
We'll
do some more chatting on that.
It makes for a great story, even if it's not true.
They all do.
Well, Ohio State's the answer. Hey, hang on the line, and Caleb will get you hooked up with a $25 gift card to Fanatics. Congratulations.
Thank you.
We'll take a break. Be back with Brian Christopherson of Lincoln Journal Star and Northwestern Superback Dan Vitale after this.
Take the route to summer savings at Garrett Tires and Treads. The Fusion Touring Tire provides a quiet ride, combining value and comfort, as low as $44.95 for the 185/60R14 size. Firestone Precision Touring Tires provide great traction and high mileage and are $100 off a set of four. Drive into Garrett Tires and Treads now and save. Hurry, offer ends August 31st. Find out more savings at Garrett-Tire.com.
Garrett Guarantee. Garrett. Garrett Tires and Treads.
Started drinking beer on Saturday nights, sleeping in on Sunday mornings, missing Mass, and it just became a pattern and continued. Without God, I don't know where I'd be right now. I feel like I'm whole again. I know the importance of the Eucharist. I know the importance of the sacraments that I didn't know at a young age. I follow God's will because my desire is to get to heaven. Our lives are rich and full by being members of the church.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church, visit CatholicsComeHome.org.
Crazy Burn is the latest, hottest weight loss product exclusively being sold at the Hastings, Kearney, and Grand Island GNCs. Are you looking to get fit and slim down for summer? Crazy Burn has ephedra effects, resulting in more energy, appetite suppression, and amazing weight loss. Start working on that beach body today. Don't go mad hoping for something to work. Get crazy with Crazy Burn and start getting results today. Available exclusively at your Hastings GNC just north of Walmart, the Kearney GNC in the Hilltop Mall, and the Grand Island GNC in the Conestoga Mall.
I call Kearney Crete and Block for all my landscaping bricks and paver.
We called Kearney Crete and Block when we decided to do an outdoor kitchen, fire pit, and patio. You should be calling Kearney Crete and Block and Christensen Concrete for all your concrete and masonry supplies. Let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and value of your home and business. Kearney Crete and Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
Keep calm and Kool-Aid on. The 18th Annual Kool-Aid Days Festival comes to Hastings August 7th, 8th, and 9th. The festival has moved to the campus of Central Community College, but you'll still find all the things you love. You can drink your fill at the world's largest Kool-Aid stand, enjoy musical entertainment all day, see a parade, eat festival food, play games, and drink more Kool-Aid. Visit Hastings, Nebraska, the birthplace of Kool-Aid, August 7th, 8th, and 9th. New location at Central Community College, Hastings campus. Same great weekend of fun for kids of all ages. Check out all the details at KoolAidDays.com.
Southern Hills Golf Course invites you to experience one of the most beautiful and enjoyable 18-hole courses in Nebraska. Stop by for your back-to-school sale punch card and save. Buy five rounds, and the sixth is free. Just call 463-8006 for the details. You don't need a membership to enjoy the rolling hills, gorgeous landscaping, and challenging holes that you'll discover at Southern Hills. Get your back-to-school sale punch card at Southern Hills Golf Course, just southwest of Hastings, 463-8006.
Doug and Daddy's show, ESPN Radio. Don't forget Hail Varsity every weekday afternoon from 4 to 6 with Schmitty and Jay Moore, now as the new co-host, permanent co-host for now, starting this past Monday. So hope you enjoy that, and always good to have a former player giving insight, Monty Kratzenstein, my co-host today on the Doug and Daddy show. Hey, folks, if you're looking for lunch or a great, great sandwich anytime, Big Daddy's Deli, two locations in Hastings to serve you, home of a bazillion and one sandwiches, downtown at 801 West 2nd and right across from Duncan Field. If you hit it out over right center, that ball might roll right over to Big Daddy's Deli at 610 East South Street. All sandwiches served with your choice of freshly baked bread or bun. Get the cheese you want, the vegetables you want, the condiments you want. There are side items, potato salad, soup, fruit cups, side salad, chips, desserts, cookies, and a whole lot more. They even make you special extra-long sandwiches for bigger events and meat and cheese trays if you order ahead. Contact Big Daddy's Deli or stop by any time for one of the best sandwiches around, two locations in Hastings.
I was listening, I was driving in my pickup, imagine that, and I was listening to Hail Varsity yesterday, and they had Rob Zadiska on there, and he does a segment every so often. He had a fast, for me, I don't know if anybody else loved
it.
He's
smart.
He's real smart, but he was talking about offensive line play and technique, and he was talking about the zone, inside outside zone, and the importance of first step, second step, and the difference between the way they did it in the 90s versus the way technique wise other people coach it. To me, it was fascinating because a lot of people say, oh, the zone blocking of the offensive line, oh, that's not so good. Nebraska Milt Hennepin was one of the first guys to zone block. But his, the way he taught the technique and the way he taught the second step and the punch and those sort of things, as far as a 45-degree angle instead of going down the line, is fascinating. And it was really interesting. It was a good discussion on real-life stuff that people, you know, sometimes don't understand.
I'll ask you a real quick question because I know this could be a long response, but how much does athleticism overcome the mistakes that you might make? Let's face it, Bob Devaney says, I want intelligent players. Well, there's guys that don't get the playbook completely or miss their assignment or make a mistake. How much do you believe that just pure athleticism? We look at Ohio State, and I'm not saying they have 36 ACTs or 20 ACTs or 4 ACTs, but how much can athleticism overcome somebody that doesn't have a 3.9 GPA?
I will say it depends on the position. To me, it depends on the position and what you're asked to do. In other words, if you're an offensive lineman, your intelligence and techniques can make you a much better player, and there's a lot of very, very athletic offensive linemen who never play because they can't figure out those other two things. Conversely, I used to go down when I was a high school coach, and we used to go down and sit and watch film with the Nebraska football staff. And they used to show Terrell Farley and how not to play a play. His technique was so bad. His reads were so bad. His first step was so bad. Oh, by the way, he tackled the guy for a 3-yard loss. And so, but that's at the linebacker, you know, that's at the outside linebacker position. So I will say a lot of it depends. There's a lot of really great athletes who never play because they can't figure out that other part. And you know what? Conversely, there's a lot of guys who, I don't know, like me, that weren't great athletes who figured out a way to play because I had to do things right, had to know all those nuances. And so to me, guys kind of figure it out or they don't, and they have a set of their skill set is the same or is different, and they kind of figure out how to make it work.
From a different note here, and then we're going to hear from Dan Vitale of Northwestern. My buddy Mike says, should I audition or apply for the announcer gig at UNL? It can't hurt. I'm going to tell you, it's a close-knit gig there. They probably already have somebody in mind to do it, but that's an unfortunate deal. It came across late last night, and I even had, because it's a news story, I had to double-check what was going on. But the PA announcer at Memorial Stadium is Patrick Combs. He's big radio guy in Lincoln. He's run for United States office from the state of Nebraska, and he's going to prison for a while. He's been taking money from swindling. Here's exactly what it said in the Journal Star last night. He stands accused of swindling two elderly women of hundreds of thousands of dollars, according to court documents, at least $400,000. Was trying to make a nearly $2 million transfer. It's a bad deal. It's a bad, bad deal. The university had a very short statement that said Mr. Combs' annual letter of agreement with the University of Nebraska Athletic Department expired on August 1st. Under the circumstances, we will not consider renewing the agreement until all legal issues are resolved.
Bad career move.
You'll have a new guy in the booth.
And, well, and I wonder who – that'll be interesting, too, because I first of all, unfortunately, I didn't know who this was. I didn't recognize that name. I usually try to keep in touch, but it'll be interesting to hear. It's probably a voice that you so recognize, you're so used to, but then – and there'll be a new one in the fall. So when you go there in the fall, you'll hear that. You're like, oh, yeah, that's
when
that's
we different. Were at school, it didn't matter because you couldn't understand them anyway on the old speakers.
Wah, 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 wah.
Charlie Brown's teacher. Our Big Ten Talk today is brought to you by Garrett Tires and Treads, celebrating 50 years of service with the Garrett Guarantee.
Dan Vitale joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Big Ten Media Days wrapping up. You guys are the last ones in the room. Is it fair that it's so close to home, Dan?
It's going to be a rough ride home. You know, they got the Lollapalooza going on and everything like that, so it'll be a long drive. But, you know, it was well worth it. It was a lot of fun today, and we had a great time. I think I can speak for the other two with that, too.
How much do Northwestern players visit Chicago, or is it stay around campus in Evanston?
I think as you get older, a lot of times you end up going downtown, but it's cool to just, you know, take the L down. It's, you know, 25, 30-minute ride, and then you just kind of explore. I think it's cool for the freshmen, too, the guys who aren't from the area. You know, it's that close. You hop on the L, you go to North Avenue Beach, check out the Bean. You know, it's awesome. You check out the Willis Tower, everything like that. So it's a cool experience. You know, it's something that you don't get anywhere else.
5-7 the last couple of years, everybody's bringing that up. Coach Fitzgerald says we need to do what winners do. What is that?
I think the biggest thing for us as a team right now is playing with consistency and consistently preparing for victory. consistently playing like we want to be champions, you know, that's something that we need to do. And I think it really comes from our leadership council and our senior leaders. That's where it starts, and it's got to trickle down to the younger guys. Got to make them understand what it's like to be in your senior year, whether they're freshmen, sophomores, juniors, but like it's your last year, because you never know when football is going to be taken away from you. So I think if we can do that, we can be great.
Are you one of the guys that pays attention to media, social media, newspapers, televisions? And from that fact of the last couple of years, it's Northwestern's chance to maybe win the West or take that last leap, and then it didn't happen. Then this year they're not saying that, so it could also play into maybe it would happen. Do you pay attention to any of that talk?
You know, I try to stay away from a lot of that, you know, that talk and that kind of social media and everything like that. But, you know, when I do look at it, a lot of times, whether it's good or bad, it's motivating. And, you know, I look to the bad things as challenges, and it helps me set goals. And I look to the good things as just further motivation and don't want to prove them wrong, you know. So, you know, I'll look at it every once in a while, but our teams are the people who set the goals, and we know what we need to do. So all that's left to do is just perform.
Dan Vitale, super back Northwestern, not slot back, super back. And we're not making that up, Dan. What is super back?
You know, I think the name's perfect for that position. You know, it's kind of like an H-back, which is a hybrid type player. We do a little bit of everything. So, you know, I play hand down tight end. I play in the slot. I play fullback in the backfield a little bit. The cool thing about it is you get to do everything out there. You get to become the most well-rounded football player that you can possibly be. You know, I catch passes. I got a block for the running backs. I get handoffs. I catch option pitches. So it's a pretty special thing.
Obviously, Coach wouldn't have super back if you weren't able to do it all, but what part of that is your favorite?
I love getting the ball in my hands, but I don't know who wouldn't. I think, honestly, the coolest thing for me is actually being able to do everything out there and becoming the best solid football player that I can possibly come, not just the best receiver or the best, you know, tight end or fullback. I get to become the best football player that I can possibly be.
Talking with Dan Vitale, superback Northwestern, here on the Doug and Daddy Show, ESPN Radio Nebraska. Where were you the last time that Northwestern came to Nebraska? That's yay for Nebraska and just heart-wrenching for Northwestern.
Yeah, that was a tough one. You know, I actually know Jordan Westerkamp personally too, from back in high school. So that was definitely a tough one. You know, we thought we had a win there, and to have it taken away from you is a tough one. So you know, even the last couple of years, they brought it to us and they played a complete game. So you know, if we can play a complete game like they do, it'll be, you know, one hell of a matchup.
What's going to make Northwestern better than some people think? I mean, a lot of people are putting that ceiling at 7-5, even if you guys have a good year. What's the key to being better than that?
You know, I think we have more talent than people realize. And if we can play consistently and play with confidence and swagger, you know, we can go undefeated. You know, a couple of years ago, we were literally 5 minutes away from, you know, being an undefeated team. We lost in overtime and two fourth quarter comebacks for the other teams. And then even these last couple seasons, you know, we're right there with everybody. So I think we're a lot closer than people think. And all we got to do is perform.
What's been the best part so far about being a Northwestern Wildcat?
I guess I'll just go to more so just my favorite memory. And, you know, I got two favorite memories. One of them was winning the Gator Bowl, you know, snapping that bowl victory, whatever you want to call it, that streak of losses in bowl games, and finally getting one done. That was something so cool. You know, that was one of the best years of my life, you know, most exciting seasons of my life. And then also the second one was just winning at Notre Dame last year. That was something cool for the program. You know, the tradition there is phenomenal, and everybody, you know, at some point in their life was probably a Notre Dame fan when you were a kid. But being able to go there and get a win against a great football team like that was amazing.
Being an Illinois boy, were you a Notre Dame fan?
You know, when I was a kid, that was back when Rudy came out. So I was actually a big fan of Notre Dame when I was a little kid. But once I hit high school, I always had my eyes on Northwestern. You know, it's just a perfect fit for me, and I couldn't be happier with my decision to come here.
Finally, Dan, you talked about all the places you play. There's a little question about offensive line. There's not a question about running back. There's a little question about quarterback. What are you guys looking for here in fall camp offensively?
I think the biggest thing for us is we got to find, you know, the quarterback who's going to be the guy. That's going to be the big question mark around our team right now, is who's going to be the guy who's going to step up. And I think the cool thing about that for us, at least, is that Coach Fitz is going to put a lot of that on the leadership of the team to kind of find that guy. And, you know, I'm excited to have that kind of role in that that process. So definitely want to see one guy emerge as the guy. So.
And are you jacked for this non-conference schedule? You got some challenges ahead of you.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, got to take it one game at a time. So Stanford is going to be a great challenge for us, great test. They're a phenomenal program, a lot of tradition there as well. Very similar to us academically. So it'll be exciting. It'll be a huge test.
Dan Vitale, super back. We will see you in Lincoln here in a couple of months. Have a great season, and sure appreciate it.
Thanks so much.
Well, that's part of our Big Ten chat brought to you by the Catholic Diocese of Grand Island, serving the Catholic families of central and western Nebraska, and the Kearney Chicken Coop, home of hot wings and cold beer. I hope to have Dan Vitale on again. We haven't really talked a lot about this yet, but the Team Jack Radiothon with Jack Hoffman and all they're doing is coming up September 3rd in the Doug and Daddy Show. That's a Thursday before the first Husker game. We will be live in Lincoln. Our sister station, The Breeze 94.5, where you hear the Royals games and Husker football, will be with them all day long. We will be there for our 2 hours on that day. And when we got done with the interview, I kind of ribbed Dan there a little bit. I'd never noticed as many as the football players, for lack of whatever the term is, wearing their hair in a bun. I mean, that's what it is. I mean, yeah. They're tying up their long hair and they're putting it in a bun back there. Well, Dan says he had a personal relationship with a Jack Hoffman who passed away through Northwestern, mm-hmm. and he's growing his hair to give it to the charity.
Locks of Love.
Locks of Love. Mm-hmm. And so he's doing that, and Dan said, I'd love to come on for the Jack Hoffman deal. So we're going to try and work that out and talk more about that. As far as the football goes, besides being a super back, Northwestern does have Stanford and at Duke in the non-conference. It's going to be tough for Northwestern. And then
sounds like a Quiz Bowl.
And then, and then October, Minnesota, Michigan, Iowa, Nebraska. They're going to have to get a couple or three of those to, I think, make a bowl here, because the last three, they're in that mix of, can they compete with Penn State? Can they beat Penn State? Then they've got Purdue at Wisconsin. You got to probably scratch a loss, and then Illinois, the rivalry game, which most guys would chalk as a possible win, but it's a rivalry game. They're going to have a lot of 50-50 games.
Aren't they always like that? I mean, it seems to me, if you look at the history of Northwestern since Fitz took over, they upset some teams because they do things right and they have an interesting style. But they also, you know, they've only had one or two years where you're like, these are breakout sort of years. And then they kind of go back to it. They're a very dangerous team. They're going to have a lot. We talked about Hastings Broncos. They're going to have a lot of close games, too. Just what you said. That are going to come down to about four or five different plays.
We still have on the other side of this final break, Brian Christofferson, the Lincoln Journal star, to talk all about the first day of Husker camp and what he saw. You still can get registered, by the way, for the granddaddy of them all. The 88th Annual Southwest Open is this weekend at the Holdridge Country Club. They'll even throw in a free practice round today, but golf is Saturday and Sunday. Make your tee times by contacting the Holdridge Country Club at 995-5744. You get the free practice round today from $95. You also get the free range balls, the great dinner Saturday night. There's a Calcutta. If you do have to rent a cart, there is a small fee for that. You can find out more online at holdridgecc.com or sign up today. Last day to do it, call the Holdridge Country Club, 308-995-5744, and compete in this Saturday and Sunday's Southwest Open.
Where you're a neighbor, not a number, we're Custom Pack.
This week, a custom pack of Hastings get USDA Choice Boneless New York Strip Steaks, only $7.98 a pound. Lean Boneless Butterfly Pork Chops, only $2.98 a pound. And individual 6-ounce chicken breast, only $1.69 each. It's all at Custom Pack of Hastings.
At Custom Pack, you're a neighbor, not a number.
Attention seniors looking for luxurious apartment living at an affordable rate? Look no further. Hastings Village has newly renovated apartments for rent.
Come to our open house on Thursday, August 13th between 4:30 and 6:30 p.m. Tour our 1 and 2 bedroom apartments, which feature open floor plans, spacious kitchens, and lots of storage. Utilities are included in the rent. Modern day luxury and maintenance free living awaits you. Visit the Village on August 13th from 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. and see senior living in a whole new light.
Locally owned Hastings Physical Therapy, chosen since 2002 for excellence in one-on-one care. Even in this rapidly changing healthcare environment, we at Hastings Physical Therapy want you to know the choice is still yours when selecting your physical therapist. We offer convenient hours and parking. Privately owned and next to Applebee's. Call Hastings Physical Therapy at 402-462-2665 to schedule your appointment today.
If you got it, show it.
Get ready.
That's right, baby. TDLC Cruise Night 2015 is Friday, August 14th in Hampton. We challenge you Tri-City Street Rods, Living Legends, and Central Nebraska Auto Club to put your hot rod where your mouth is. On Main Street in Hampton, August 14th at 6 p.m. Sandwiches and drinks are provided. Family fun for everyone. Friday, August 14th at 6 p.m. on Main Street in Hampton. TDLC Cruise Night invites you out to show your shine. Cruise on into Hampton, August 14th.
Put on my black silk shirt, my Armani suit, my custom-made hat.
Hickman is your Class B State American Legion baseball champs. Kudos to all those that put on the area and state baseball tournaments. They had to really work through some rain over at Cozad. They were rained out completely one day. They had 2 inches yesterday morning. It pushed back the start time to 7 o'clock, but they got the first game in, and then Ron Colley wins it 5-0 over Hickman, so they've got to play another game, and Hickman sends them home a little early, 11-1 in 6 innings. They had a 7-run fifth inning. The third straight year that Hickman's won the state championship for the seniors. Their juniors also won it this year. And for the Omaha teams competing in the Central Plains Regional Tournament up in Bismarck, North Dakota, Rapid City beat Creighton Prep 6-0. Millard South beat always tough Eden Prairie, Minnesota 4-0. So Creighton Prep has an elimination game this afternoon against Washington, Missouri. And Millard South and Rapid City are the last two undefeated teams. They'll play the winner's bracket final tonight at 8 o'clock. The Tri-City Storm has completed a trade with the Chicago Steel, acquiring defenseman John Marino for a third-round pick in next year's draft. He was selected in the NHL draft 6th round by Edmonton this year and is committed to play his college hockey at Harvard. Our final bit of work here is we're going to get Brian Rosenthal on the line, talk a little Husker football, brought to you by T&L Irrigation with the 2015 harvest fast approaching. Act now and take advantage of T&L Irrigation's company's harvest special pricing. You can save $9,000 on a quarter-mile pivot and experience why T&L Irrigation Systems are like no other. Contact your local T&L dealer like Bill Shapley in Kearney or visit them online at TLIRR.com. T&L Irrigation Systems are like no other. Opening day of practice for the Huskers last night under Mike Riley. First fall camp underway, but it's not like Monty. I mean, some of the guys just showed up about a week before fall camp years ago when you played, and there was an acquaintance period and a training period. Now it's 365.
Well, and it's way different because a lot of times the new guys are there in the summer, so you see some of them. But there are some new guys at the running back position, for example, that we didn't know about 3 weeks ago hardly. So there's a lot of changes. And the other thing is the expectations are a lot different. We're in today's day and age, you're expecting some of those true freshmen to play back in the fill in the blank 90s, 80s, whatever. Those freshmen were just freshmen, you know. There's not a North locker room anymore.
Yeah, they didn't show on the 105, that's for sure. Brian Christopherson, Lincoln Journal Star, kind enough to give us some time after practice number one. And usually there's a little news after practice number one because maybe there's something you've seen that you weren't aware of. And then we'll just look at the X's and O's probably for the next 3 weeks. Brian, good morning, and how was practice number one?
It was good. You know, it's always hard to read too much into the first few practices, and frankly, we shouldn't, because yesterday they're running around in shorts and a helmet. So, I kind of laugh when people kind of throw some hot takes about guys after the first couple practices, because it's just too early to do that. But I did feel like they took the field, and it felt like they carried over well from the spring, and that's what Mike Riley said in the post-practice, too, is that you know, they kind of took off where they were. It seemed like guys knew what they were supposed to be doing. The offense, I thought, you know, it wasn't a machine or anything, but I thought Tommy looked pretty crisp for a first practice. Brandon Riley is going to be a weapon at wide receiver. A couple things like that stick out. But aside from that, you know, it's a lot of eyeballing the freshmen, probably, kind of seeing sizing them up and seeing who you think can help out right away. And so that's going to be kind of what this fall camp is about the first couple weeks, I think, as the media is concerned, is kind of figuring out who are those new guys who are going to play this year.
Brian, you're a man after my own heart because I always warn people not to knee-jerk on anything and make early judgments and that sort of thing. So I do appreciate hearing that. But on the other side of things, I'm really intrigued. I'm anxious to go down there and watch a little bit just from – I love the logistics and the planning part of things. Was there anything you saw differently as far as a practice plan? Or, you know, for a lot of guys, it's football practice, and so there's not going to be a lot of different things. But at the same time, was there anything that you saw that struck you as being new, different, you know, good, bad, or otherwise from previous years?
Well, it's not new from the spring, but I do think there are less people standing around this year. I felt like maybe if you were to pick apart the Pelini regime's practices, sometimes it felt like there's one set of action going on one field, and then a lot of guys are just watching it. And there's some watching. You can't get all 105 guys, you know, on two fields at the same time. But they do have two practice fields going at once. You know, they seem to run it pretty efficiently. You know, where you got Tommy on one field and then you got like the number two and three offense on another field where Zach Darlington and AJ Bush are kind of duking it out. So I feel like a lot of guys are getting reps and I felt like everybody knew what they were doing. It wasn't like, you know, there were any pauses in the practice or anything like that. You could tell it was well planned out. It was organized. Everybody was on the same page and players knew what to expect. They had obviously mapped it out beforehand. So I thought it was a very efficient first practice. You know, like I say, it's tough to read into the individual guys, but I think if you were just taking an overall view of it, it seemed like things were going smoothly.
Well, obvious, I got to throw it out. We've mentioned his name a bunch in the last 2 weeks. Riker Fife was where yesterday?
Riker was on the same field as Tommy, and it's hard to know exactly where the pecking order is. I think right now, if I were to guess, he's probably the number four guy trying to work his way up. I mean, that's kind of my read on it. Mike Riley hasn't just said that, but I do feel like at the end of the spring, it was kind of Darlington and Bush that they had put in that 2-3 category. But Riker's there. He's got experience. And as we've seen before, quarterback is a position where, you know, you hate to say it, but guys can go down in a hurry and the whole landscape can change in a hurry. So it sure helps to have a guy who at least he's been around the program a little bit longer than the others in Riker Fife. So it was good to see him out there. I know there were some rumors about, you know, is he on the roster and all this a few weeks ago, but he's out there and, you know, you'd like to see him make a push and just get after it because he does have talent. Anybody who saw him play in high school knows he's got arm talent, and he's a little better with his feet than people give him credit for, I think. So, you know, if he puts his head down and goes, who knows what can happen? It's not going to be easy for him, I don't think, necessarily, to work his way into that top two mix. But, you know, you take it one day at a time and see if he can make some progress.
Well, the one good thing about the quarterback position, as opposed to maybe some of the others, is as camp goes along, you are going to see the amount of reps and the amount of attention that takes place. In other words, there's no doubt that who the number one guy is, who the next guy up, as you go through camp. And that is one good thing about the quarterback, where in my feeling, a lot of times with the linebackers or secondary guys or even wide receivers, you don't really get a good feel for that during fall camp.
Yeah, that's definitely true. Part of the reason is those positions, guys are just more put in groups, and sometimes they mix and match a little bit. You know, you obviously have three linebackers on the field at once, and sometimes they'll throw a guy who's maybe a second-teamer in with a first-teamer, and so it kind of leaves you scratching your head a little about who is where. But you're right. I think the quarterback position as we go forward will be pretty defined, and I think it'll be defined pretty quickly because Mike Riley has said that. He wants to have his pecking order. He wants to, at a certain point, you have to give your main reps to the guys who you think are going to play in your top two and top three guys, and then that's what they're going to do. So that's where it's important early on for guys like Ryker, guys like Zach Darlington, AJ Bush to show well in the, you know, it was especially important in the spring, but even this first week of fall camp, you know, if you can do well and maybe put something in the coach's head that you belong in that top three, who knows, maybe that helps you out. But that's why it's important to get off to a good start in fall camp.
Brian Christopherson with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show from the Lincoln Journal-Star. Check out all of the articles either in the paper or Husker Extra, where today he talks a little bit about the kicking competition. So I want to know about that, and I want to know what you saw on the offensive line, so I'll double up on you here. At the press conference before Fan Day, Alex Lewis said that Zach Stirrup from Hastings and Ryan Reeves were looking really good and were healthy and ready to go. And then you also mentioned in your article today that it's Drew Brown and a junior college transfer in Jamie Sutcliffe that's battling for the kicker, which then again we thought maybe Spencer Lindsay of Kearney. Obviously he's left off the 105, and Sam Fultz is as good as he's been. So there's a whole bunch there, but first the offensive line, then transition into your column or your article today on the kickers.
Yeah, I think the O-line, Stirrup and Reeves, are going to help a lot. And the thing is, these coaches haven't seen those guys yet. They did a little individual work at the end of spring, but they weren't really practicing. So this was kind of the coach's first look at them. But they did have Stirrup out there starting at right tackle with the number one line. And I don't run too far with that right now. It's early on, and Zach's going to have to earn his spot there. But they know that he's a guy who has experience to his name. He's got a big body. He's played in some big moments, and he's got the opportunity first, it looks like, with that top unit. Ryan Reeves is going to have a battle at that center spot, and that's going to be interesting to watch with Paul Thurston. Thurston had a very good spring, I thought. And the other day, Thurston got the first look with the ones, and again, that doesn't mean a whole lot yet. But that's going to be a battle for Ryan Reeves. But I think that's a position where you'd like two guys. You got to have a couple guys that you can throw out there at center. It's been a position we've seen the last couple of years that, you know, there's been some injuries there. And that's really the thing with Ryan Reeves that you hope he avoids this year. I think he's got so much talent, and there have been moments where it looks like he's about to take off, and then the injury bug has struck him. It's been different injuries at different times. And you just hope he can have a fall this year where he stays healthy and can, you know, put all that potential to use. So hopefully that works out for him, because I think if it does, I still like his chances to win a starting job when it's all said and done, as good a camp as Paul Thurston had. But, you know, it's about staying healthy. That's the name of the game for him.
And the kickers?
Yeah, the kickers, you know, Bruce Reed, the special teams coordinator, he wants competition across the board, and they brought in this JUCO kicker, Jamie Sutcliffe. And I'm interested to watch Sutcliffe kick a little bit, because if you look at the numbers, you'd be hard-pressed to think he's necessarily going to beat out Drew Brown. I know Drew Brown maybe wasn't Alex Henry good last year, but he did hit 14 of 21 kicks. And he was 12 of 14 inside of 39 yards. Perhaps you'd like to see him improve a little bit once he gets beyond 40, where I think he was 2 of 7 or something like that. But it wasn't a bad rookie campaign by Drew Brown. But I do like the fact that they're pushing him. The guy they brought in Sutcliffe, last year with the JUCO team, he was only 5 of 9 on field goals, and I think he was like 34 of 39 on extra points. So the numbers don't exactly knock you over. But, you know, it's what they want across the board. You want competition at running back, you want a wide receiver, you want a kicker. And so I don't think it hurts to do that. I was a little surprised maybe, you know, that Spencer didn't make the 105. But it's a numbers game, and they brought in this guy, and you know how it goes. They probably didn't want more than two place kickers taking up space on the 105, so somebody's got to be the odd man out, and there you have it. So that's too bad for Spencer Lindsay, but I you know, maybe when he comes in the last week of August, he can show some things.
Oh,
one more here, Brian, before we go. I'm going to act like a fan here and look like every year you hear about different guys, the first day of practice or during press conference or during fan day, people are like, oh, impressed with this, that, and the other thing. Okay, besides Nate Gary's arms and Sam Foltz's beard and hair, what caught your eye?
I'll tell you what, Malik Collins, I know he's been hyped up for a year now, but I was standing next to him interviewing him, that's a man. that guy is going to play some downs on Sundays, and he's a motivated guy. I see no signs of him slowing down. Another thing that caught my eye, not necessarily on the good side, was the running back, Jordan Stevenson, who just came in. And running backs come in all shapes and sizes, but he's got some conditioning work to do. Let's just put it that way. He doesn't look like the other guys. He's got a little bit of a gut. And, you know, in his defense, he was waiting around to see what would happen, with the Wisconsin thing, if he'd get admitted to school there. And he wasn't getting the same training these other guys were. He's not on campus working with a guy like Mark Phillips. So these other guys are ahead of the game on him. So, you know, he's got to do some catch-up work, not just necessarily in the playbook and figuring out the offense and getting chemistry with his teammates, but I think also conditioning-wise, and Mike Riley said as much yesterday, that doesn't mean he can't be a good player. You know, Corey Ross, was a guy who knocked you over as far as the eye test, but I thought he's a pretty good running back at Nebraska. So, they come in all shapes and sizes, but he's got some work to do. That was one thing that I think a lot of people probably noticed yesterday.
And, Brian, we've got 30 seconds because I know we both need to get running here, but Kevin Williams does something that a lot of players don't do unless they're in the pros. What'd you think of that? Were you standing there when he came up to that crew of reporters?
I wasn't, but my cohort, Brian Rosenthal, was. I mean, by definition, he was a backup last year. I'll say that about in the media's defense. He only started two games. But I understand where he's coming from. Everybody talks about Malik and Vincent Malik. And Kevin's a good player. And the one thing I will say is they're going to rotate a whole lot more on that defensive line than they used to. So... And Mark Banker said that. He made that's one thing he's made very clear. We like to play four guys inside. We like to have four ends, and we want to rotate them. So he is going to get a lot of snaps, and there might not be much of a difference between the ones and the twos on the inside of that line. So I think if you're a coach, and probably if you're a fan, you don't mind hearing that. It's a guy who has a chip on his shoulder, and sometimes it's good to have guys with chips on their shoulders.
Nothing but popcorn on the shoulder at halftime of Brian Christopherson during Husker football games.
That's right.
From the Lincoln Journal Star. We're less than a month away. We didn't even get into BYU losing their running back, so we'll talk about that and more as the season gets closer and closer. Brian, thanks for the time, and have a great Friday and a great weekend.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. You too.
Brian Christopherson with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show from the Lincoln Journal Star, bringing an end to our week on the Doug and Daddy Show. A lot of talk about there on the Huskers. They'll be back on the practice field this weekend, and so a lot to talk about when we return on Monday. And we should have a pretty solid show again for you on Monday. I want to thank Monty Kratzenstein. Thanks, buddy, for being here on today's program. And we will move in to the start of high school football practice next week. Conditioning is over, and the first day of official practice is Monday. We will talk with Kearney High Bearcat coach Brandon Cool. We will also talk to Tony Harper, Hastings College head football coach. He's back from Media Day. They get together on Sunday to begin fall camp. And we will also hear from Minnesota head football coach Jerry Kill. Are they ready to win the West? Will they be able to replace Cobb at running back and Williams at tight end? And how good is that defense? Kill said at Big Ten Media Days it's the best one he's had. That's all coming up Monday. We thank Brian Christopherson of the Lincoln Journal Star, Northwestern Superback Dan Vitale for joining us. Have a safe and happy and fun weekend. We'll see you back here Monday on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game.
Hey.